You're listening to the Data Flowcast, where we unlock the secrets of mastering airflow for data engineering in AI.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Data Flowcast. I'm your host, Kenton Danis, and today I'm joined by Igor Tarasenko, who is a data and AI engineer at Ponder Labs. Igor, how are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks. It's great to be chatting with you today. Yeah, it's wonderful to have you on. You're somewhere in Europe. Is that correct, if I remember right?
I'm in Israel currently.
Oh, in Israel. Okay, sorry. I got that completely wrong. Yeah, sorry about that. Well, it's great to speak with you in a very different time zone for myself. Appreciate you making the time. We'll go ahead and dive right in then. So for today's podcast, we're going to discuss how Ponder Labs customizes airflow for their clients using plugins. I'm super excited to talk about this, very timely with all of the work in the project that has gone on with plugins in the past, we'll call it 6 months or so, maybe even more with Airflow 3. But before we get into all of that, let's back up a bit, start with some background. Can you tell our listeners what Ponder Labs does?
Yeah, sure. So as you said, I'm data and AI engineer at Ponder. And in simple terms, we basically help education organizations make better use of their data. Schools and education system usually have data coming from various different systems. And our job is basically to bring that data together so it becomes useful. For example, teachers of our clients can look at assessments data from student and work to notice some gaps in learning or in teaching and to use that to help their teaching, basically. And as well, schools manager or school leaders can see trends across schools, across different areas, across different programs. So yeah, I think like that's more or less in a nutshell what we do. And me as a data engineer, my main goal is to make sure that teams, school teams, can rely on a consistent, trustworthy data for their decisions and for their work with students and in schools, right? So, we basically build many different data platforms, analytics tools. We fairly often contribute to open source. So probably we will talk about it, about open source plugins for Airflow, for DBT, mainly like data engineering tools. And also recently, probably as the whole world, we trying to do more stuff in AI powered solutions. Obviously, that's probably all the rage right now.
Yeah.
So basically, that's pretty much it. Again, on the data engineering side, we mainly, like, I think the vast majority of our clients use Airflow because we build and operate the data infrastructure for our partners. And this basically includes like the whole pipeline from the ingestion and to the BI stuff or reverse ETL. So we have to build some sort of orchestrator that will, you know, handle this whole flow of the data from its ingestion and to the end, like to the final user. So we use like, often we use Airflow, so it's a pleasure to be here. Yep, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's great. I have a couple of follow-up questions. One, I'm just curious for you said you work with schools and the education systems. Is this universities or primary school systems or both? Is it everything?
So it's mainly charter schools on the East Coast of the United States. Mainly, so it's basically, yeah, I think that's the reason that they need us, because they have many, many schools, and it's not like the management of one particular school. They have many different schools across different states, and they need some way to work efficiently with their data and basically handle all these schools together from the management office, right?
Yeah, very interesting. And I think you touched on this a little bit, but tell me more about the use cases that Airflow is supporting for these schools. And that you mentioned a little bit is providing their data and analytics, but what does that look like in a little more detail?
Sure. So maybe you know that all the educational organizations have a lot of different source systems when they work with their data. So in order to bring this to some data warehouse or data lake and work efficiently with this, they need some single place, first of all, to ingest this data. So we use Airflow in order to orchestrate all these pipelines from the data ingestions to transform and then to promoting into production. But basically, yes, it starts from the data ingestion, and we use it, like, there are totally different ways to ingest the data, from Trino to just basic Python models and all the other stuff. But, like, our idea and our main rule is to, no matter what we use to ingest the data, everything must be triggered from the Airflow, because once we do it, we can handle the dependencies and we can see the whole picture in one place. So even if we use tools for some particular systems that are not, like, their logic is not integrated in Airflow in any way, we still want Airflow to be a scheduler for this process. So we still want Airflow to be triggered. And it's also true for transformation process. I think in the vast majority of cases, we use dbt. And sometimes it's a dbt core, in some cases it's dbt cloud. And, like, obviously in dbt core, we just need this whole infrastructure and operator, et cetera, et cetera. And when we use dbt cloud, we just need to trigger the job in dbt cloud, but we still want to do it in Airflow, even though dbt cloud has their own scheduling system, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, we just want this one single ecosystem when we have an opportunity to define all the different dependencies between different tasks, jobs, and just have this, you know, this sort of DAG of DAGs, right? This big lineage of processes. Yeah, and finally, we have also reverse details. So sometimes we have to return the data to the back to the operational systems, and after the data was transformed, sometimes we need to promote the data to some other places. And yeah, so that's basically, I think I would say that, yes, we have these three main groups of DAGs, which is data ingestion, data transformation, and reverse ETLs. And I think that, there are, as usual, like, there are many minor DAGs for this and that purpose. But yeah, I think I would say that this is pretty much the way we use it.
Great. That's very helpful. And I think if I understood you correctly, when you initially described your setup, you're providing this data platform that is built on Airflow and the analytics on top of it to each individual client. So they are actually interacting with Airflow or the platform themselves. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, that's very cool. And given that you have this setup where your clients are interacting with Airflow directly, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced using Airflow in this way?
So I think that as data platforms grow, both in complexity and in size and complexity, it basically very logical that the whole management process becomes much more complicated. I think it's pretty much natural. And we have, like, for the same client, we can have many DAGs created by different teams within the same organizations. And we would like to keep it one cluster per client. I mean, like, not including the development and staging in other environments, but I mean, like, the one production cluster per one client, because it's just more, I think, like, it's more comfortable to manage all the pipelines in one cluster. So yeah, so we just have in the same cluster, we have many different DAGs that were created by different teams, all of them running at the same cluster. And basically at the scale, it becomes important to focus on structure, visibility, and consistency, because otherwise it's just very hard to understand what's going on when you have, like, I don't know, like 200 DAGs and a lot of different dependencies. Like, Airflow really helps by creating these dependency systems of data sets and triggers and sensors, etc. But it's still pretty much because otherwise it just probably, I think it would be impossible to manage this whole thing at all. But not it's possible with the dependencies, cross DAG dependencies, but it's still pretty complicated when you have different DAGs and, like, some team, which is, I think it's pretty natural to treat different DAGs as a black box, right? Because we cannot know what's going on in each one of them. And I think it's a good thing that you just know that there is some DAG that your DAG depends on, and there is some DAG that depends on your DAG. And you have no idea what exactly they do, but you sort of know you treat it as an API. And I think it's a good thing about DAGs. But in the same case, when there's an error happens somewhere there in the upstream DAG, it can be like 5-6 levels above. It can be pretty much complicated to understand what's going on and like what's the reason there. So I think that's the biggest issue that we have.
Yeah, of course. I think that totally makes sense. And it's one of the reasons on astronomer side, I think we're very familiar with this. And one of the reasons we've built our observability product into our platform for exactly that reason, when you've got lots of teams using Airflow. And if you do run into an issue debugging, it can be really hard when it's happening very upstream or something like that. So, yeah, I think that totally makes sense. I do want to dig into the plugins piece that I mentioned earlier, because I think this is really interesting what you've done there. So I understand that you've built a couple of custom plugins to extend Airflow to help your clients. So tell me about what those are and what they do.
Yeah, sure. So the first one, I think it's highly related to the same topic that we just talked about. We call it Schedule Insights. And we had this problem of before we moved to the trigger-dependent DAGs, we had just a lot of different schedules. And obviously, that becomes just impossible to manage as your complexity grows, because you have to change schedules somewhere there in the upstream DAG. And it means that you have to reschedule all the dependent DAGs. And obviously, you forget something. So we migrated to the event trigger DAGs. But we suddenly faced other problem that it's fairly complicated thing to predict when a particular DAG is going to run, when it depends on 5-6 layers of other event-driven DAGs. So we created this Schedule Insights that basically a graph, and just a Gantt chart. You can take a look on a Gantt chart and understand what is the next time the particular DAG is going to run, even if it's event trigger DAG. And basically, the way it works is just looks on all the dependent schedule DAGs, search for average duration for each one of the layers below, and somehow it's not exact duration, not exact the start time, but it pretty much accurate in the vast majority of cases. Obviously, it's much more complicated than that, because you have regularly not one schedule DAG, you have like 7, and I think starting from Airflow to 9, I think you can define really complicated conditions for triggering a particular DAG. You can schedule your DAG on scheduling and on other event trigger DAG. So yeah, it can be pretty much complicated, I think, to handle together. This plugin just has this general image of we have all these DAGs. Half of them are scheduled this the next time that they're going to run. And these DAGs are event triggered, and it's highly likely that they're going to run in a couple of hours. And then you can see in the Gantt chart all the parallel running DAGs. And sometimes it can, answer some questions about how's it possible that, I run this DAG and once in a while the table is dropped at the same time or something. So I think, the vast majority of us try to solve this problem at least once in a while. So I think it always helped us. And I think the second plugin is also somehow relevant to the same problem. As I said, when your complexity grows, it becomes really complicated to understand who is responsible for what piece in your cluster and what's exactly going on. Basically, especially, I think people who would like to know this thing are product managers, because they are sort of above all the different teams, and they would like to understand what's going on in the cluster. And also, at the same time, project managers aren't the ones who work with the code exactly, and not ones who would like to join there and spend hours probably in order to understand what's going on in Python. So I think the usual answer in the last couple of years is AI is pretty much answer for everything. So here we actually tried to make it work. We created Airflow Chat, which is basically UI chat that uses Airflow MCP. It's also something that we created. I know that there are pretty much plenty of them right now. So we just used ours, but I believe we can use anything and it will still work great. And basically just, you know, for us, it was important that project manager could go into just some tab in Airflow and ask how many docs are created by this or that team, how many docs are owned by some particular group of people, and basically just understand cross dependency between different DAGs, what's are the tasks in some DAG. And it's also, I think it's also become like people started trying to write the DAGs as simple as possible because they know that AI will take a look on it. And as a result, like the, some places are just much more, no, it sort of became in some way, it became like semantic layer of our pipeline. So people just start describing what they're doing exactly, et cetera, because they know that this information will be actually used by someone. Yeah. And I think that like less exciting things are plugin. We built some plugin in order to manage permissions for our data warehouse. So long story short, just we had a couple of limitations from other products, so we could not use IAM roles and users for a couple of our clients. So we had to use just good old roles and users with passwords. So in order to make it work and not just, you know, go to the database and querying all the users and their roles and like have all this, like just dozens of different queries that you have to run. Often we just create this beautiful UI where you can create user, attach some particular role to particular user, and just have this mapping on UI. It's just fast and simple. Yeah, and I think like even something even more, I would say, like something that is specifically was created for our use case is that we use ECS for some of our clients. And ECS still has this annoying thing, which is called the task definition. And sometimes you would like to play with different task definitions for different runs. So we created this additional plugin where you can sort of choose different versions for different logics in order to execute them and check what's going on. Like it's usually used in stage environment because like people just would like to merge something and then test how it was changed, like how particular logic was changed and how it changes particular data in some tables. But yeah, it's still something that is being used by us. So yeah, I think that like my go-to rule is that once you have some problem you would like to integrate into Airflow, just create a custom plugin and it will solve the vast majority of your problems.
This episode is brought to you by Astronomer, creators of Astro, the leading fully managed Airflow service designed for the modern data stack. Whether you're orchestrating large language models, implementing a data mesh architecture, or streamlining complex workflows, Astro empowers your team to focus on innovation, not infrastructure. To see how you can maximize Airflow's potential within your data ecosystem, visit www.astronomer.io.
Yeah, that's great. That's a lot of customization that you've done. And those are all really interesting problems. Maybe one brief follow-up question. I guess this probably applies mostly to the plugin that's predicting when DAGs are going to run, but could potentially apply to some of the other situations as well. I'm curious what your experience has been with how, I guess, bulletproof they are in terms of anomalies coming up. Like how often do you have a scenario that's sort of outside the norm that then throws off whatever the prediction is or even the model is that's, you know, returning, answering questions, I should say, about what's going on in an Airflow instance?
Yeah, sure. So I think each major change that somehow changes the duration of the DAG somewhere there in this whole chain of different DAGs obviously can affect the prediction because that's exactly how it's working. It basically just looks on the history of different runs. And if like your current run is different from the medium duration of the same DAG in the previous couple of weeks or like just previous couple of runs, then your current duration, like predicted duration, will be also problematic. And the second issue that we actually faced with the same plugin is that sometimes we'd like to build one DAG for different purposes. So for example, you would like to just handle a different task by some parameter. for example, you have a DAG of data ingestion, and you have parameter that handles whether it's incremental ingestion or you just truncate it and insert all the data. So obviously, the duration is significantly different from time to time. And like someone can just execute manual run in order to just clean and re-ingest all the data from scratch, and it affects the duration of prediction. And there, like, we try to basically implement a few workarounds to handle this particular situation. For example, take a look on more scheduled runs than manual runs and stuff like this. But yes, basically, each time there is some significant change that changes the duration, it can affect the prediction time, or it can basically just, you know, not affect, but like the prediction time will be based on the previous runs, and it for now, it has nothing to do with the current run.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Well, that's very cool that you're still able to provide some insight in those cases. I'm curious, with all of these plugins that you've developed, what has been your experience generally working with the new plugin interface in Airflow 3?
So, actually first of all, it was great. For now, like all the plugins that I mentioned, we started building them for Airflow 2. And then right now we are continuing to migrate to Airflow 3. So we started looking on how to migrate all of our plugins to Airflow 3. And for some of them, it was significantly easier than I was thinking. And obviously it's great that like this modern fast API based interface, first of all, I think it's great because it's much more generic than it was, even though it was generic with a Flask. But I think that fast API based interface, it's just the best solution that Airflow community could pick. And also I think that APIs started being more, I would say, cleaner and more predictable than they were. And in general, it's just a much better developer experience. So we started migrating some of our plugins to Airflow 3, and we suddenly realized that we didn't have, at least like it was a couple of months ago, so maybe it's outdated information, but we didn't have these graph dependencies of between different DAGs in Airflow 3. And we really needed it. So we basically just, I think in a couple of hours, created our old plugin in order to see different DAGs and whether they're triggered by some DAG or the dependent data sets and what is the condition, et cetera, et cetera. And we also added a couple of capabilities that we really waited to have in Airflow 2. For example, like when you have 90 or a couple of hundred DAGs that depend on each other, sometimes you would just really like not only to search for particular DAG, you would also like to filter it and see only like particular DAGs and their upstream DAGs or like all of the children. So basically just filter out all the unnecessary stuff that you would not like to see in order just to understand what's going on. So we added this thing, and yeah, this development went surprisingly well and fast.
That's great. I love to hear that. Yeah, definitely a lot of changes to the interface in Airflow 3, but it seems like there's been a lot of great community feedback so far. I think what you just mentioned, so creating your own view for this view that existed in Airflow 2, but was not in Airflow 3.0, I think you alluded to, it has been added back in 3.1, I believe, or will be. Maybe I got that wrong. But in any case, I think a good lead into my standard final question for folks, which is, what would you like to see most from the Airflow project in the near future?
Well, I think as someone who would like to delegate Airflow work to the clients, I think it would be great to have, I know that Astronomer has this Astro SDK, right? Or something like this, which is basically helps with the AI help build different DAGs. So I think if like sometimes there is this, like one of our key challenges is to combine this work of people who would like to work with the code, basically engineers, and people who'd like to work with UI and to work in some drag and drop UI tools. It's pretty much a complicated thing because when you work with code, a lot of different people, it becomes much more complicated to dig in and understand what's going on there. And when you work with only with the drag and drop in the UI, it's a fairly complicated thing to track the history and changes in some VCS system, for example, Git. So I think this challenge of being able to work on the same project for both of these groups of people, both for UI folks and for people who would like to code, and being able to synchronize their work. So the code would be synchronized in UI and UI changes would be synchronized in code. And, you know, if Astro, CLI and Astro thing would be on top of that. So you would basically talk with AI, ask for to define your couple of data sets and then manually change something, for example, some connections between different DAGs, and then it would be reflected in code itself. That would be just great. That would be great because we could just basically give it to clients and say, you can work with it as you like. Everything is saved in VCS. And yeah, that's basically, I think that would be the great case. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see where that would be very helpful for working with a lot of clients that have varying degrees of Airflow and Python background. I'm not aware of anything in the open source project for what you're describing, but as you alluded to, we do have within our Astro platform the IDE, which you can use the AI assistant for helping write DAGs. We're also adding in what's called Blueprint, which is basically a form that comes up. So for like very standardized DAGs where you're doing, you know, maybe an ETL flow or something like that, and you just need somebody to come in and say, I want this form, but for this database or this table or whatever, then it's just a form that they fill out. So that is something that we're adding there, kind of like a not actually drag and drop in terms of the GUI interface, but I think it was similar to what you're describing.
Yeah, that's very cool. Is it a part of the cloud solution, right? So it's like part of the cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it will be. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Igor, thank you so much for taking the time. It's been really interesting talking to you and learning more about the solutions that you've built out. Just to close us out, what is the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
So you can look for Pondo Labs on LinkedIn or Substack. You can read all newsletters. You can find me on LinkedIn as well, Igor Tarasenko, and just Google it and I will be there.
Great, great. And we really appreciate you taking the time to write up also on your Substack and those other mediums, everything that you've done with Airflow. I think it's so helpful for the community to be, you know, inspired by how companies are using it and customizing it in your case. So great work there.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks again.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of the Data Flowcast, Mastering Airflow for Data Engineering and AI. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.